Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.
The devil will actually be in the details. UN climate change negotiations kick off. The COP27 will take place from November the 6th to the 18th in Egypt. 30 years after the adoption of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, the 27th Conference of the Parties to this convention opened on Sunday to negotiate the potential solutions to the climate crisis. Better known as the COP27, the event is taking place in the city of Sharm el-Sheikh. Friends of the Earth International, the world's largest grassroots environmental network, which holds the principle of climate justice at its core, held a press conference on Sunday at the COP to express its concerns, expectations, and demands. We'll first listen to Rachel Connerly from Friends of the Earth England, Wales, and Northern Ireland speaking about the role of the rich countries in this so-called common goal of stopping global warming.
We're here to demand climate justice. That means rich countries must do their fair share to address the climate crisis through cutting their emissions, providing long overdue finance for adaptation and loss and damage, and not getting sidelined by dangerous distractions like offsetting and nature-based solutions. Speaking of rich countries not doing their fair share, yesterday UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak claimed we have a roadmap to preventing climate disaster, despite scientists' warnings of the yawning chasm between commitments and action. The UK government is way off track meeting its climate targets and is still considering opening a new coal mine in the UK, expanding oil and gas drilling in the North Sea, and has $1 billion set aside to finance gas in Mozambique.
This was Rachel with a clear example from her country, a global north country which is moving in the opposite direction to the proposal and continues to finance the exploitation of fossil fuels. Now I will share a fragment of the intervention of Avir Budme from Pengon, Friends of the Earth Palestine.
Climate justice for me is understanding inequity. It's important to target all oppressions, capitalism, colonialism. I came from Palestine that live under the longest occupation in the world. There is no Palestinian sovereignty on our natural resources, on our land, on our water. The occupation put all restrictions to prevent us to cope with the climate changes. And even though Gaza Strip live under illegal Israeli siege since more than 16 years, we could achieve steps forward climate and clean energy transition. Climate justice could not be achieved without social justice, without a real strong political decisions, not greenwashing decisions. Climate justice could not be achieved without putting all industrial corporations and water corporations under accountability. We need a real solutions, not false solutions that will cause more harm for communities. We need a power for people, for poor communities that is affected by the climate change. Justice and equity must accompany every decision at this COP.
Abir highlighted that the communities and peoples should be at the center of the climate negotiations, since they are the ones who suffer the direct impacts. We will now listen to Kirtana Chandrasekaran, Food Sovereignty Coordinator at Friends of the Earth International. Kirtana rejects false solutions and demands support for people's alternatives to halt climate change by taking care of nature.
What we need is that the governments urgently begin to coordinated phase out of fossil fuel production and consumption with equity and justice at its core, without using false solutions. We demand that the inherent rights and sovereignty of indigenous peoples and the human rights of peasants, local communities and other small-scale producers are implemented, respected, granted. Their traditional knowledge and practices of community forest management, agroecology in the framework of food sovereignty can be fully implemented to help halt climate change and biodiversity loss. That forests should be kept out of carbon markets and offsets. And we demand more support for small-scale communities, peasant agroecology, artisanal fishing, and those who still feed 70 to 80% of people on our planet.
Moreover, Ubre Joe Maimoni from Friends of the Earth Africa explains how false solutions, including carbon markets, the net zero, and other greenwashing tactics, continue to operate under a colonialist agenda, with the global north exploiting the global south, trampling on human rights and destroying communities.
Despite holding these crops on the African soil, the plundering and grabbing of African resources still continues. The pollution in the Niger Delta area of Nigeria is here to end. Africa still experiences intense tropical cyclones. Of course, we are aware of the cyclone that rocked Mozambique and other South African countries. Africa is still seen as dumping ground, a place where resources are extracted and taken away to other parts of the world and are brought back to us in the form of used finished products. So Africa is not a dumping ground. Europe should not come to Africa for gas, because the increased pressure for more gas operation on the seashore of Cabo Delgado in Mozambique has caused the locals to lose their lands and livelihoods. The host communities of Nigeria Niger Delta have been severely polluted by fossil fuel extraction activity. They have lost their lives, livelihoods, and land to oil and gas pollution. The increased gas push on Africa created by the attack on Ukraine by Russia, if allowed, will further incinerate Africa. Don't let Africa burn.
Lastly, we will listen to Mina Rahman from SAM, Friends of the Earth Malaysia.
What you will see is the legitimizing of false solutions. Glasgow already did that. They give the pretense of the fact that if every country adopts net zero targets, the world is on track to limit temperature rise to 1.5 degrees. This is a complete con game, and it's actually a fraud, which we have called out time and again from Friends of the Earth International and the larger global campaign to demand climate justice. What we want to see is real emission reductions today, and actually it should have been done much earlier, particularly by the rich world. And they are dragging their feet, and having net zero targets by 2050 is doing too little too late. Tomorrow we will have the leaders of the world coming. You know, there will be a lot of high drama. There will be a lot of, you know, talk about ambition to save the world and save the planet. But I think the devil will actually be in the details, where we cannot be conned any longer. It's no longer net zero. It's no longer promises. It's no longer backtracking and no longer shifting the goalposts. We hold the developed countries in particular to account to deliver now meaningful, real solutions and not false solutions. Thank you.
Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.